DeFi can feel like it's got this whole secret language sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? Like you need a decoder ring just to understand the basics.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's what we're diving into today.
Sounds good.
We're tackling ticks and basis points terms that honestly
right.
sound like they belong in like a fantasy RPG, not finance.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they're crucial. Once you start getting into liquidity pools, how to use them strategically, how to potentially make them work harder for you.
Exactly. A lot of people, they hear liquidity pools and think, okay, I just provide some assets, sit back, and that's it.
Right. Like it's some magical money machine.
Yeah, but there's actually a lot more to it.
And that's where understanding these terms comes in. Luckily, we have a fantastic article from Goblin's Cash today to guide us. It's called Understanding Ticks and Basis Points in Liquidity Pools.
Mm.
So starting right at the beginning.
Ticks.
I like how they describe it. Ticks are like price stepping stones within a liquidity pool.
Yeah, good way to put it.
Because it's not like this smooth, continuous price curve.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can only trade at these predefined levels, almost like if you picture a staircase.
Okay, yeah.
And each stair represents the price of an asset, each step up or down. That's a tick.
Exactly. And you can't just magically teleport to the top of the staircase. You have to take each step one at a time, right?
Right.
Same idea in the liquidity pool. Prices move in these set increments defined by the ticks.
So knowing where those ticks are placed, that becomes pretty important, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're deciding where to provide your liquidity.
Absolutely. You don't want to just jump in blind. You could end up with your liquidity spread too thin, or it's concentrated in a way that doesn't really match what you're trying to achieve.
Makes sense. Okay, so then there's basis points, which always kind of trip me up. They seem very connected to ticks.
They are. Think of it like two sides of the same coin. The article says they're just the percentage language of ticks. Both of them represent a 0.01% price change.
So whether I say tick or I say bip, we're essentially talking about the same tiny price movement.
You got it.
Okay, so let's say there's a fee tier of, we'll say, 0.3%. How would basis points even come into play there? So that 0.3%, that's where those basis points live, right?
Exactly, that 0.3% fee, or we could say 30 basis points. That's actually going to determine how close together those price steps, those ticks, are in that specific pool.
Okay, so the fee tier kind of sets the resolution in a way.
Yeah, I like that, the resolution analogy.
But like on your screen. Mm-hmm. High resolution, you get a smoother image, but it also takes more like processing power, right? More data.
Exactly. A higher fee tier with those tighter tick spacings, that's like opting for that super high resolution. You've got the potential for greater returns, but it might mean you got to be more hands-on. You got to watch the market, maybe adjust your liquidity range more often.
So with lower fees, wider tick spacing, it's kind of like set it and forget it more.
Well, you never want to completely forget about it, but yeah, it might not require as much day-to-day attention. It's like, you know, choosing between a leisurely stroll in the park.
Okay, I like where you're going with this.
Versus like a high-intensity interval training workout. Both can get you results, but the approach is different.
That makes a lot of sense. But before we get too deep into strategies, can you break down why this even matters for the average person? Like, why should I care about these tiny ticks and basis points?
It all comes down to making the most of your money, right? Say you're providing liquidity and the price of assets starts going up, but those ticks are spaced far apart.
So the price could jump over where my liquidity is sitting.
Exactly. You miss out on potential fees because your liquidity wasn't in those in-between price ranges. It's like you set up your lemonade stand, but you didn't put it close enough to the thirsty crowd.
Ouch. That's a painful visual, especially on a hot day.
Right. So understanding these things, it helps you avoid those missed opportunities.
Makes total sense. Okay, so let's talk Goblin's Cash specifically. The article mentioned that their pools have a certain tick range.
Yeah.
Something like 887,272 to 887,272. That sounds massive.
It is a big range, but here's the thing. You're not just randomly picking numbers within that range. You know what I mean?
So it's not like those pick a number between 1 and 1 million. Games.
Exactly. Goblin's Cash has defined these boundaries, and the key takeaway is that you got to understand how those boundaries work with the fee tier you choose.
So even though the range is huge, you still got to be strategic about where within it you're actually providing your liquidity.
Exactly. Think about it like
like dartboard.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. A dartboard, but instead of aiming for the bullseye, you're aiming for these very specific points on the board based on your strategy.
And the article had that great example of setting like a -1% price range around an asset that was priced at, what was it, under $879.
Right. That's a perfect example of why this all matters. You could end up with a really uneven split of your liquidity if you're not careful. If those price points you want don't perfectly line up with those available ticks, it's about being precise.
It's almost like instead of just casually providing liquidity, it's more like you're almost like actively trading in a way.
You're not wrong. There's a whole strategic element to it that a lot of people don't realize at first. It can get pretty deep.
And speaking of getting deep, there's one last thing from the article. I got to ask about this solidity value concept.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it sounds kind of intimidating.
Don't worry. It's not as bad as it sounds. It's just that Goblin's Cash, like a lot of DeFi platforms, they're built on this programming language called Solidity.
Okay. And?
In Solidity, it doesn't actually use decimals or percentages directly in its code. So it's got to have a different way to understand those fee percentages.
So how do they handle fees if they're not using percentages?
That's where pool fee value comes in. Think of it like translating those percentages into a language that Solidity actually gets.
Okay, so like a code word for fee.
Exactly. And the article breaks it down really well. You take the fee tier percentage, let's say it's 0.3% again, and you multiply it by 10,000.
And that gives you?
3,000. So in the actual code of the platform, instead of seeing 0.3%, you'd see 3,000. It's the same thing, just expressed in a way that Solidity can work with.
So it's like a secret handshake, but for code.
Haha, exactly. And the article even gives you that handy formula, you know, just in case you're ever unsure and want to double check the math. Always a good idea in DeFi. Right.
Wow, this has been like seriously eye-opening. We started with these kind of obscure terms, ticks, basis points, and now we're talking about like the actual strategies you need to understand to really make the most of liquidity pools.
It's like we've gone from 0 to 60 in like DeFi fluency.
Right. And I think the biggest thing I'm taking away from all this is it's not just set it and forget it. Active management is key.
100%. Remember we were talking about, what was it? The gardening analogy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Taking care of your liquidity like it's a garden.
Exactly. Same thing applies here. You got to pay attention to what the market's doing, how those price swings could affect you, and be ready to like adjust your game plan as you go.
And that's where having a good community can be huge, yeah. Right?
Huge, especially with a platform like Goblin's Cash. They've got a very active, supportive community from what I've seen that can be super valuable, just bouncing ideas off each other, sharing tips.
Like having a whole team of like experienced gardeners to help you out.
There you go. And hey, we're all learning here. This whole DeFi space, it's constantly changing. There's always something new to discover.
So true. Well, I think we covered a ton today. We dove deep into kicks, basis points, how they all tie into making those smart liquidity decisions. Big thanks to Goblin's Cash for that awesome article. It definitely cleared up a lot for me, hopefully for our listeners too. And the cool thing is, this is really just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to DeFi, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It can seem a little daunting at first, all the technical stuff, but once you start to get those basic building blocks in place,
it's like the possibilities are pretty much endless.
Exactly. You start to see the potential, not just for, you know, maybe earning some passive income, but for how this whole system could change things.
Exactly. It's like, who knows what amazing opportunities are out there just waiting for us to like unlock them. It's pretty exciting stuff. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive. We'll catch you next time.